Joe, we'll see you tomorrow. It's going to be Matt Latos, and it's going to be Masahiro Tanaka. Another tough one for the Jays as they look for a fourth straight.
Doesn't get any easier, but the Blue Jays are going to try to win a series tomorrow. It's a three-game set here in the Bronx, and after coming off that big series win, their first of the season against the Rays, why not?
Unbeaten in May. Your Toronto Blue Jays. All right, Joe, we'll see you tomorrow. Now we will send it on out to you folks out there. Time to Blue Jays Talk It Up live from the Bronx. The phone lines are open at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. And what we talk about, the Blue Jays have to tread water with the Stars out after that brutal start. And what do you know? They're 8-8 in their last 16 games. They are treading water and now playing awfully well. We'll see as this series continues. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. And we will take your calls across the network to the bottom of the hour and then keep it on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and sportsnet.ca/590 up until 11 o'clock Eastern Time. We're going to lead things off with Lawrence in Toronto. Welcome to the program.
Well, that's more like it. Three in a row. Feeling good?
Good.
Good.
Glad to hear it.
So, myself and the boys from Leafs, Jays, Rap Sports have one simple question for you, Mike, and maybe you have a little bit of understanding based on your proximity to the guys and also daily MLB stuff. If, like with Aaron Sanchez and his split nail situation, what if he wore an acrylic nail like women sometimes do for manicures? Would that be considered a foreign substance, or is that something that like they might be able to get away with? And I'm sure they've thought of it, but what do you think?
Give me that again with Sanchez and the split nail.
If there was an acrylic nail, like one of those gels.
Yeah, you know what? We talked about that. Joe and I talked about that during the broadcast. A.J. Burnett used to do that. He had problems with his fingernails, and he had his own manicurist, and he went in spring training, and he got a fake nail put on, and he thought that could help it. I don't know if they can do that with Sanchez because I'm not familiar terribly with the world of aesthetics, but I think you need a full nail in order to put a fake nail on. And maybe someone can tweet me and let me know if that's true. Sanchez had like a fifth of that fingernail removed with that surgery, and maybe even having a fake nail on might result in the same issues as he had with a real nail in developing that blister. So I don't know how that works. I'm sure it's being investigated. But for now, we haven't heard anything about any sort of fake nail at all. Lawrence, thank you for the call.
Yeah, thanks.
We got to take a break. When we come back, more of your phone calls. All right, Josh Goldberg insists that we take this call, so let's do it. John in Toronto, how you doing?
Hey, Mike. I'm sorry, first-time caller.
All right, cool. You got like 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Well, I tell you what, you know, tell me a little bit about Estrada. You know, he, you know, we got him, you know, a couple of years ago, and I tell you what, he might be one of the best pitchers in the league. What do you think?
Well, first of all, this is not your third call. This is your first. We are very happy that you do it. But you know what? Marco Estrada was not our player of the game tonight, John. John in the Bronx. We picked Ryan Goins. What do you think of that?
Well, I don't know, but I think it was great on Gibby Park there to catch up.
All right.
And Maley, I thought that Maley did a great job. You know, I heard you before the game. What an expert you are, man. And I'm glad you were wrong once again.
Hey, it happens every once in a while, and it's always good if I'm wrong and you're the one that's right.
Well, yeah. Hey, buddy, what about them free tickets up there? If you call in, you know, you said something about promising free tickets.
You know what? I'll see what I can do about that. We're still trying to work our team to try to get that. I've heard that the Blue Jays skipper is very interested in giving out a pair of free tickets for every homestand, and we are working on putting on something like that together. I appreciate the call.
Let me have one more question for you. What kind of ratings do you get on this show here?
I'm confident on this show we get at least 7 or 8 people. Pretty much every night.
Is it the same bozos every night that really don't, they have trouble talking?
I leave that to the listeners to decide who be the bozos and who be not.
All right, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate the call. And for those of you who are not aware, that was John Gibbons calling Blue Jays Talk for the first time. How about that? A visit from Gibby. We got to take a break. Blue Jays beat the Yankees 7-1. Everything is looking pretty good in Blue Jays land. It is the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Pitch to Bautista, hit high and deep to left center field. Ellsbury going back. He looks up, and it's gone. Home run, Jose Bautista, his second of the season, and the Blue Jays now lead it 7-1.
A 433-foot shot into the Jays' bullpen in left center field. Jose Bautista with that two-run shot. Joe Siddle with a call, and that was your final score. 7-1, the Blue Jays beat the Yankees. Ryan Goins also with a two-run shot to right field, but no Yankee Stadium special. 399 feet up into those seats, and Goins also contributing a two-run sacrifice fly. Ryan Goins was up four times today, 1-for-3 with the homer and the sac fly. Every single time, the ball left his bat with an exit velocity of at least 102 miles an hour. And that was all to back a terrific performance by Marco Estrada in a 7-1 Blue Jays win. Estrada gives up a run on seven hits to get his first win of the season, takes it seven innings, doesn't walk a man, and strikes out five. Ordinarily, we would sneak in one more call here, but we had to go a little long in that last segment because John Gibbons called in for the first time on Blue Jays Talk, and that was a lot of fun. You can tell they're feeling pretty good. And yeah, Gibby did give me the gears before the game when I asked him why Russell Martin wasn't playing tonight. I figured Russ would play all six games in this series, in this road trip, in fact, because he'd gotten a couple of days off earlier on with the rain out, and there's a day off in between. But Gibbons said he wants to get Luke Maley involved. It's a day after travel. He wants to give Russ a break. And what do you know? The Blue Jays come out, don't need Martin at all, in a big 7-1 win over the Yankees. We'll come back and wrap it up for the network, get you set for tomorrow. But Blue Jays Talk will continue to 11 p.m. Eastern. It is a Honda postgame show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. That's going to do it for us as far as the network is concerned. But we will continue to take your calls on Blue Jays Talk right up until 11 o'clock Eastern Time at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance 1-888-666-0590. That's right. You, too, can call the same postgame show that John Gibbons calls. And we'll talk about Blue Jays to the top of the hour. Tomorrow, the Blue Jays look for a fourth straight win. If they can get it, it will be a second straight series win as this series continues at Yankee Stadium. Matt Latos on the bump for the Blue Jays, coming off six shutout innings in St. Louis last week. Masahiro Tanaka will answer for the Yanks, so it's another tough task, but the Blue Jays got the job done tonight with a 7-1 win. We're on tomorrow at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form. And the accounts and descriptions of this broadcast may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership for the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Tom Raminski, Josh Goldberg, and Gibby, I'm Mike Wilner. Blue Jays Talk continues. It's a 3-1 count on Goins. Here's the pitch. It's hammered. Right field. That's hit a ton. That's going to get up and out of here. Ryan Goins with a two-run shot, and that was no Yankee Stadium special. His second of the season has the Blue Jays up 2-0. Ryan Goins was just getting started. That two-run homer was one of four balls that came off his bat at 102 miles an hour or better on his way to a 1-for-3 night with four RBIs. He also had a two-run sacrifice fly in the sixth inning, a fly ball to the wall in center field measured at 410 feet. That was where it was estimated to land. The wall's only 408 feet away, but Jacoby Ellsbury went up and made the catch against the wall, landed on his back, and Devin Travis was able to tag from second and score, sprinting all the way as part of this Blue Jays 7-1 win. And it was a team effort. Starting on the mound with Marco Estrada, 7 innings, a run on 7 hits with no walks. Danny Barnes, 2 no-hit innings out of the bullpen to close it out. But every single member of the Blue Jays starting lineup tonight, every Blue Jay who came to the plate, Darwin Barney came in late but never got to bat, every Blue Jay who came to the plate reached base at least once. 6 different guys scored a run. Goins was hogging the RBIs, so only 4 guys drove in a run. And 7 different Blue Jays had hits tonight. We haven't seen that very often this year. But now it looks like they're starting to get moving. They've won 3 in a row, 8-8 over their last 16. Treading water in the absences of Josh Donaldson, Troy Tulowitzki, Jay Happ, and really Aaron Sanchez, who pitched, came off the DL yesterday, but only pitched 1 inning. After that brutal 1-9 start. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Lines are open. You can call the show that John Gibbons just called into. Let's go out east. Jamie is in Cape Breton. Hello, Jamie.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call, man.
Thanks for calling.
Right on. Rather tough act to follow with Gibby there, but just wanted to make a comment, Mike. Well, more of a question, I guess, just in reference pitching in general. I always heard the saying, good pitching will always be good hitting, at least most times will. Just wondering, Mike, did you describe the same line of thinking? And if so, I guess, would it possibly be just because action is faster than reaction, or is there more to it than that?
I think, first of all, I think it's a sort of an old saw in the game that people like to say but doesn't really mean anything. Because often you'll hear good pitching will always be good hitting, but good hitting will always be good pitching.
Right.
And the truth of the matter is I would rather have 5 Hall of Fame starting pitchers on my team than have an otherworldly offense, because I think that when great pitching is pitching great, it can beat anybody. But when you have great hitters hitting well, they can also beat anybody. I think it's just one of those sayings that people say, and they trust that whoever's listening will just nod their head and go, okay.
It makes sense. I always relate it back to hockey with a goaltending, where, you know, they say a goalie, you know, who's on this game can steal a game for you.
Sure.
It's kind of like your base there. And I always related that with pitching. So I appreciate that, Mike. That clears it up.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks.
And you know what? Anyone can pitch great. You have guys with ERAs of 5 and 6, but it's not because they're giving up, 4 runs in 6 innings every time out. They will, every once in a while, are going to throw 7 shutout innings or 5 shutout innings or something like that, and every once in a while they're going to get their brains beaten in. The great pitchers are the ones who get their brains beaten in much less often and more often go deep in games and don't give up a lot of runs. But, you know, all for the whole great pitching beats great hitting, all you need to point to is the Atlanta Braves in the 1990s. They won their division, I think, 14 years in a row, because 1994 doesn't count. The Expos were winning the division when the strike hit. And they did it with 3 Hall of Fame starting pitchers in their rotation, in Greg Maddux and John Smoltz and Tom Glavine. And they won 1 World Series. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't want great pitching. Of course, you want great pitching. And it doesn't mean that the playoffs aren't a crapshoot, which they are, but not a lot of people like to believe that. But if great pitching always beat great hitting, those Braves would have won 6 or 8 world titles. And they won 1. Max is in Scarborough. Hey, Max.
Well, good evening, Mike. I have to say this was a offensive, you know, game that we've been wanting to see for quite a while that didn't happen last month. And going forward into May, I hope they'll may play games like those. They won't get more than 7 wins every night, but I'm just glad that the Jays have finally, you know, got the bats, you know, off and running.
Well, tonight, right? It doesn't mean it's going to go for the whole week, but absolutely tonight, the Jays did have, or the whole month of the whole season, but the Blue Jays were swinging it well tonight. Ryan Goins had a big night and contributions up and down the lineup. Absolutely.
He was almost like a, he was almost like a one-man gang. Like he gave the team 4 RBIs, and I mean, this Goins is really starting to come on his own as a player, and in the way that he's playing right now, I mean, you know, I think he's going to be one of those recognizable Jays, along with Tulowitzki and Donaldson and Batista.
Well, I think, I mean, I appreciate your excitement and the passion about that, but I know a lot of people are very excited about Ryan Goins. I think you're taking it a little too far. You got to remember, Ryan Goins had a huge night tonight, and I don't want to rain on Ryan Goins' parade at all. He had a huge night tonight. He was 0 for 15 coming into this game, okay? 0 for his last 15 coming into the game, hitting .200 with an OPS under .600. So this was a great night for Ryan Goins, and he was terrific. But let's not pretend that all of a sudden Ryan Goins has become a reliable, everyday Major League bat.
Yeah, hopefully when he plays, he may have games like that. It's just a one-off, and I'm sure there will be others before the season's over.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Absolutely. Thank you for the call. Ryan Goins will have games like this. He just did, and he is certainly capable of it. But the reason that the Josh Donaldsons and the Troy Tulowitzkis and the Jose Bautistas are who they are because they have games like this all the time. Not necessarily 4 RBIs, but you know what I mean. Games like this all the time where they come up 4 times, hit the ball hard 4 times. Ryan Goins is wonderful. I'm a big fan of Ryan Goins. He is one of the best defensive players I have ever seen. But again, Ryan Goins has a long way to go before we can say, see, look, I told you he could hit. Before we get to the next caller, we've already heard from John Gibbons once tonight. He called into the program. But let's hear what he had to say with the media in the postgame. Here's John Gibbons' thoughts on tonight's 7-1 win for the Blue Jays.
You know, that might have been our biggest outburst of the year. Maybe down in Tampa we scored a bunch, but, the guy, like I said, we've been coming up short on wins, but the guy's been playing some pretty good ball, you know, and we're in every game. And of course, Marco, you know, just when, you know, you've got a depleted bullpen, he does what, you know, he's got to be the most underrated pitcher in the game, you know. Stressing out a good hitting hot team, too, you know, but I've seen him do that way too many times to be a fluke, you know. And Barnes, he gave us a lift, got through there, you know, for 2 innings, so saved our pen. A lot of good things, but, you know, Ryan Goins, big night. You know, a lot of guys did a lot of good things.
With Marco, he's now given up 2 or fewer runs in 5 of the 6 starts this season. What makes this guy go?
Well, I don't know. Was it last year or the year before? Where's Mal at? And he set the record. Set some record, didn't he? So, I don't know. Doing what he's been doing. I thought Maley did a hell of a job back there. I'm glad he played tonight.
Who's Will?
Yeah, Will Lutz. Will Lutz.
Yeah, basically, I mean, this went about as well as it could have gone for you guys under the circumstances today to do it.
Yeah, oh yeah. The circumstances with our pen. You know, and then, you know, he's been throwing really well, and we know how good he is, and, you know, we came out swinging. You know, he got a big jam. We were second, third, one out. He got out of that, you know, and still, you know, tight ball game. And then, of course, then we opened it up, which hasn't happened too often this year, and it gave us some breathing room. It was a nice feeling.
What size is Jose's heating up to, John?
Or? Yeah, Buff, he's been, you know, for the last week, 10 days, I mean, he's starting to look like the old guy.
It was some nice opportunism for you guys there too, with the catch Alvarez makes against the wall, and you get 2 on a sacrifice fly, which is the first in franchise history.
Is it? Yeah, you know, it's so deep out there anyway. You know, if he didn't get banged up and he falls, I mean, there's a shot you can do it. You know, it's a very rare play, but you know, it's kind of exciting, fun to watch, you know.
Got the Batista home run.
What about it?
His home run, that's going to get him going?
Well, he's been, the last week, 10 days, like I said, he's been starting to swing it a little bit. So, you know, all we've ever known is Jose being good. And just, you know, I mean, he had an unusual slow start for him, but he's picking it up.
So there he is, John Gibbons talking to the media after he talked to me as a caller on Blue Jays Talk, which was pretty awesome. And we'll see if that ever happens again. The Blue Jays beat the New York Yankees by a score of 7-1. They've won three in a row, and as you can tell by the fact that Gibby's calling in to Jays Talk, they're feeling pretty good. You can call in, too, 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Sam is in North York. Hello, Sam.
Is this the John Gibbons hotline?
I guess so.
Did you know John from the Bronx was calling in?
I did not.
Oh, no. Okay. Yeah, I thought you weren't very nice at first. Hurry up. You got 2 minutes.
Well, the problem is, see, and I'll take you guys all behind the curtain for a second. We've got 4 minutes of breaks to take before we have to let the network go. And it was 10:21 Eastern time. And I would never, ever, ever take one more call or take more than one call before taking that first break. Because otherwise, we may have trouble getting both those in. So my producer was insisting that I take the call. Obviously, Gibby's not going to wait through a break, but I didn't know that. So I really felt like, man, we got to hurry up. After a couple of seconds, when I realized who it was, I thought, all right, well, that middle segment between breaks doesn't have to be very long. We can take this guy.
Yeah, John from the Bronx had a Texas accent there, so it was a little bit off-putting.
Yes, I'm
reading here that in 1986, Gibbons served as the Mets' bullpen catcher.
No.
The year that the Mets won the series.
He wasn't their bullpen catcher. He was on the team.
He wasn't
on the roster in the playoffs, but he was with them in the playoffs catching in the bullpen. But he was, he was like their third catcher.
My question is, do you get a World Series ring for that?
Absolutely, he has a World Series ring.
Ah, okay, excellent, though. Because that's...
Everybody, and this is a question that comes up a lot, and I'm really not sure why. Who gets a ring, who doesn't get a ring. You know, everyone who's played even one game for a team during a season in which they win the World Series gets a ring. Chris Coughlin's getting a World Series ring from the Cubs for last year. Joe Smith, who wasn't on the playoff roster, is getting a World Series ring from the Cubs for last year. 2 years ago, if the Jays had won the World Series, Phil Koch would have gotten a World Series ring. Everybody gets a ring.
Sorry, Munenori gets a ring?
Yeah. Munenori's getting a ring.
Oh,
yep.
No, that's. I know how much you like him, so I
love him.
I love the
not a great baseball player, but a great guy.
What's that?
He's not a great baseball player, but relative to other major leaguers, but he's a great guy.
Yeah, you know what? He brought some personality here when things could be a little bit, you know, stoic. So full marks, and I'm glad he gets a ring. You know, my question. I'll try to be quick. If we're not in a playoff spot come summer-ish. People are speaking of trading some of the big contracts, Tulowitzki or Donaldson, Martin. But to me, those guys are the pillar of the team right now. The reason I haven't given hope is because the leadership on the team is as good as I think it's ever been. And even Chris Coughlin, I think, mentioned something along the lines of the chemistry inside the clubhouse. And if you trade those pillars, to me, it leaves a huge void that, you know, it's going to take a couple of years to come back because we don't have the prospects to really bring up at this point. So I'm a little bit confused what happens come the summer if we're not there, but I think we should be close.
Yeah, I think there's honestly, I think that people are looking for clicks and looking for hits, and the best way to do that is to talk about doom and gloom and to talk about blowing everything up and to talk about how horrible everything is, because for some reason that gets a lot of people going. So if you want a bunch of clicks on your column, you will write how the Blue Jays need to trade everybody, even though it's May 1st and we're nowhere near anyone having any kind of conversations to that regard who actually matters. I think if at the All-Star break they're like 8 games out and not playing well and spinning their wheels, then those conversations are going to be had. and Josh Donaldson, who's an expiring contract after next year, will be discussed to see what the Blue Jays might be able to get in trade. But that's 2.5 months away before those decisions are even going to start to be discussed or those conversations are even going to begin. And I don't think they're going to be 8 games out and dead in the water around the All-Star break. So I don't think it's going to happen at all. But, you know, let's leave a couple of months and try to leave those clickbait articles alone and those, you know, sort of trolly Twitter comments alone and wait and see what this team does over the course of the next couple of months.
To finish that thought, how much time before any real talent comes up to the team from the farm? Because it seems to be lacking right now, though.
It's not lacking at all right now. I mean, Anthony Alford is in AA. Last I looked, he was hitting over 400. Rowdy Tellez, while he's struggling in Buffalo, is certainly on the doorstep. Connor Green's in AA. Richard Urania's in AA. Those kids in Lansing are a ways away. Vladimir Guerrero and Bo Bichette. And Brad Jones are probably at least 3 years away, if not more. But there's a lot of talent.
Is the better talent in Double A than Triple A?
Yes.
Ah, okay. Because the Bisons, I just heard that there wasn't much there. But then I'd heard that for some reason that the talent's in Double A because Triple A is, I don't know, are they just playing out the string or are they?
I'm going to let you go, Sam, because sure. I got a lot of people to get to. But Triple A now has sort of become the league for guys on their way down more than guys on their way up. And Double A is where the big time prospects are. But those guys in AA are going to be in AAA eventually, too. So we'll see as this is what's a very good pipeline in the low minors keeps rolling for the Blue Jays. Jays won 7-1 over the New York Yankees tonight, their third win in a row, and they're 8-8 over their last 16 after that 1-9 start. Let's go out to Jerusalem. Why not? Mutty, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
All right. How are you?
Yeah, I was listening to the game, and me and my brother stayed up for it. And about 6 o'clock here, 6 a.m., where I was like falling asleep listening to Jay's talk, and I hear John from the Bronx call in, which is awesome. But can I see, I mean, I had a question about Goins, and as I'm sitting on hold, you kind of like put someone down who was asking that, so I'm not going to bother with that. But, I mean, a stupid question that I'm sure you're also not going to like, but it was just such an interesting question that I heard someone talking about last week. Assuming the Jays are out of it by the time the middle of the season rolls around,
why would we assume that though?
No, I don't mean it in that way. I'm sure they're going to be great, but I just go there for a second. If you have Estrada,
yep,
who they got a great deal on,
yep,
do they think about trading him to a contender for some really good pieces if they're completely out of it?
Yes, and then signing him back. Yeah, I mean, why not?
Yeah, like the Yankees did with Chapman, right?
Exactly. Yes.
I mean, it seems so weird to do that, but like, why not? I had a couple questions, like technical questions about the show. First of all, when you hang up on someone when you're answering someone's question and you hang up on them and they're out of town, they can't listen to the response until they go back into their app and listen through like a 30-second commercial.
I know.
So they don't actually get to hear your response. That's A. And B, there was one last week. There was one of the podcasts where I don't know. I'm sure it's not in your department, but someone whoever does the podcast included the whole post game thing all the way leading up until Blue Jays talk. Also, and that was something like a bunch of people were asking for last year. I don't know if that's like in your department or you have any control over that. That's great. Where like if I work nights and I can come after and listen to the podcast and hear your whole breakdown of the game for like 5 minutes. It's just really great. You have no
control
thank
you.
Of that, do you?
Yeah, no, I don't. I don't have any control of that.
It's great to hear the whole play of the game and your whole breakdown. It's great to hear that and then come into like calls, as opposed to just calls and trying to piece together what happened.
All right. Well, we'll take that under advisement. We'll send that to the high foreheads and see what they think. Thanks, Mutty.
I don't know what everyone's.
We gotta move on. But yeah, you know what? You're right about, and you may have just been hung up on, but you're right about people out of town can't hear the answer when they get hung up on. So I don't know what Tom Raminski and all our great ops, Ryan Clark and Emil Delich. And, man, I can't believe I'm forgetting one. Viken Paladian, King Jeremy. Apologies to Viken. I don't know if they pot the caller down so they can still hear. But a lot of people just hang up, and sometimes you'll hear that dial tone sneak in, which we don't want to do, too. So we'll ask the ops to just pop people down so they can hear the answer and then hang up on them when we move on to the next caller. Let's go to Eddie in Fort Erie. Eddie, welcome aboard.
Thanks, Mike. Well, I'm going to make this quick since there's not enough time left. I got a pretty good idea why they played Sinatra three times today.
Tell me.
Because we won three in a row.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't think the Yankees care much about that. But, yeah, why not?
Yeah.
We'll see what happens tomorrow night.
I know. Maybe they'll play it four times.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe if the Yankees win, they play it all night. I have no idea. I haven't been to this stadium for a Yankees win in a while.
Well, doesn't matter. At least we won three in a row, and that's a good thing. And you know what? I really saw tonight how great that they play. You know, they just, I think after they won that second game against the Tampa Bay Rays, I think that was kind of like a monkey that was taken off their back, and they said, you know what? Now we got that out of the way. Let's go and get some more wins, you know, because they're just having fun right now. Like, I saw the smiles on Gibbons and Stroman's face. It's like, you know what? I think I really feel after they won that second game, they just felt relaxed tonight, you know.
If only it was that easy. If only it was that easy, you know. I think that, and I appreciate the call, Eddie. I think baseball is one of those games where that stuff matters less than the other sports. But there is something to be said for playing free and easy and being relaxed, and that's what the Blue Jays certainly looked like tonight. Now they could be just as free and easy and just as relaxed tomorrow and lose 14-2. We don't know. But it is very difficult to climb back into a race if you haven't won two games in a row all season, and they hadn't done that before yesterday. Ryan Goins has a big day, a home run, a two-run sack fly, four ribbies. Marco Estrada was great. Blue Jays up and down the lineup were outstanding as they beat the Yankees 7-1. We will be back tomorrow night. Maybe Gibby will call again. It'll be Matt Latos against Masahiro Tanaka. We're on at 7 o'clock Eastern. Thanks to all of you for listening. Good night from the Bronx.